Hello, David. How are you doing?
I'm good, Joe.
Last weekend was
everything.
Pop is a clock.
We were living our best life at the We Love Pop Divas night.
Oh, and we brought the divas with us.
Well, we were the divas.
We were the divas.
We were channeling it.
Well, if anyone's not already following us on socials, this is a reason why you need to, because you would have seen me going full on Billy for day and night, and us both just going through it and living our best lives.
Joel was serving so much choreography. Like, it was, I actually thought this could have been a set of a music video.
Yeah. I did full on routine and a security guard came over thinking he'd be like, can you calm down? Gave me full on fist bump. You know, I felt like I was in Save the Last Dance.
Your arms were swinging.
Oh God, I watched it back and I was like, those are some flailing arms. I look like Elizabeth Berkley in Showgirls when she's at the club and her arms are just kind of everywhere.
I was just worried about like people walking past with drinks.
I wasn't. Because that would be their fault to get in my space when I'm dancing.
I mean,
you know?
They should know better.
And then the only other thing I have to say is that my queen, Hilary Duff, has a new film coming out. She's in an independent film called The Haunting of Sharon Tate.
Oh.
Which is based on the true life story of Sharon Tate. Now, this film takes some creative license and tells that story, but also kind of puts a spin on it. Now, I've seen a screener of this film in advance. It's out on April 8th. Because I'm reviewing it for a magazine. But I just wanted everyone to know that it's out April 8th and they should check it out. I'm not sure where I've landed on my thoughts of the film yet, but you've never seen a performance like this from Hilary Duff, and I think it's worth seeing it for that alone. And I think it can open acting doors for Hilary.
Okay.
People to see her in a new light. And I would be, off the back of this, I would be so here for seeing Hilary Duff as a full-on scream queen, you know, a final girl in a horror film.
Really? Mm. So she has quite a prominent role in it.
She's Sharon Tate.
She's Sharon Tate. She's the title character.
She's the titular role.
Wow. Okay, no pressure, Hills.
And she's the star. It's, you know, it's a small indie, low-budget cast, but she's the star, and then Jonathan Bennett from Mean Girls is in it. You know, they're the two familiar faces. So that's out April 8th, which is my birthday. And then on April 9th is Rachel Stevens' birthday, which brings us to why we're here today.
Oh, what a segue. Somebody's planned this.
I did that off the cuff. Thank you, pop gods.
So, Rachel Stevens.
We have been waiting such a long time to do this. And I know we say that a lot.
But this really truly has been on the list.
And it was always like, no, this is one that needs to be saved. We can't just jump in with it. And then she was going to be our series finale. But guys, you just wait for what's at the end of this series. It was either Rachel goes to series 3 or she happens now. And it was, she's happening now, because I can't wait any longer to talk about Rachel Stevens.
So Rachel was 21 when she joined S Club 7. First of all, that was news to me. I thought she was quite young, but...
Well, as we know about Rachel, she is just ever youthful, isn't she?
Ageless queen that she is. So 21, she joins S Club 7. And then after about 4 years together as a group, they split up after selling over 10 million albums worldwide, countless hits. I mean, Joel, you're a big fan of S Club 7, obviously.
S Club 7 are my favourite pop band.
Wow. More so than Spice Girls.
Possibly. Because it's a bit more personal, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm with you, I get you. It was right in your era when you were developing your own taste in music and becoming aware of pop music and all that. And so walk me through Rachel Stevens through your eyes while she was in the band. Was she always one to watch for, did you think?
I'm very glad you asked me this, David. To me, from day one of S Club 7, Rachel Stevens was my favourite.
Oh.
Now, you look back at S Club 7, and if you don't look at it in the way I do, which is very thoroughly, if you just look at it as an overall thing, you might just look back and think, yeah, seven people, Joe sung completely. But Rachel was a very prominent secondary lead female vocal in that band. You know, even in the first episode of Miami 7, we see Joe and everyone singing Everybody Wants You. It's the first time we see them singing as a group. But Joe's at the front, and right there next to her at the front, Rachel, with everyone else further behind.
Mm.
It really sets up for what it is. You know, she's got prominent vocals in the group numbers such as Bring It All Back and You, but then she also had lead vocals right back on the first album with I Really Miss You, which is such a beautiful ballad and really suits her vocals. It's stunning from the get-go. And then obviously there's the first single where she had the lead vocal, Natural, which is incredible.
Great track.
And then on the third album, there's songs like Show Me Your Colours, which is, again, another Rachel lead vocal. And then on the fourth album, when they've gone from 7 to 6, Joe has a back injury during when they were promoting Alive and the album. So even though Joe's got a lead vocal on a lot of the tracks, when they were promoting it, they re-recorded these songs with Rachel's lead vocal.
Wow.
There was a time in promotion when Rachel was the lead vocalist of S Club 7. She always had that something about her, that star quality. She was the one you really loved. To be honest, there's only one way to describe how I feel about Rachel Stevens.
She is the mother I never had. She is the sister everybody would want. She is the friend that everybody deserves. I don't know a better person.
The way you've set it up just then, it's always shown that there was promise of her branching out eventually.
Mm. And looking back at other things in that era, there's a performance from Pop Idol, the Will and Gareth season, where Rachel is the special guest and does a duet with Gareth. Now, if I was on the X Factor, that would be my Beyonce. That is my dream duet. You know, that's the one. Calling out the big guns, you know, whoever's the judges now, you know, Cheryl or Simon or whoever, if they're my mentor, please do whatever you can in your wheelhouse to get Rachel in to be my big duet for the finale. You know, we can win it if we get Rachel on board.
So, after S Club 7, or S Club, split, literally 5 months after that, Rachel goes solo
and signed a £1.5 million record deal with Polydor and re-signed with Simon Fuller and 19 Management as a solo act.
Yes, queen.
And she came out with Sweet Dreams My LAX, a song that we all know was originally offered to Britney Spears as a reply to Justin Timberlake's Cry Me a River. And I think it worked out for the best, because if Britney had released it, it would have come across a little bit cheap, per se, as a comeback.
Yeah. Yeah.
But for a debut single of Rachel Stevens, it's slick, it's sexy. For me, it was probably the best song of this year, of that year, of 2003. It really was a big deal. This was a big debut single. You know, she had Kathy Dennis on board, who had written so many S Club 7 hits.
Produced by Bloodshot and Avant, who, at this point, Britney was going to come out with In The Zone in about 2 months. And on there, they did Toxic.
They got to have two huge singles, one with more of a European release, and then one with the biggest American pop star. Now, we must speak about the ribbons.
The ribbon choreography in this video.
So iconic. You can't think of Rachel without thinking the ribbons. She's gone as far as herself to say with the S Club reunion tour, she said, you know, when it got to the opportunity of me doing a solo number, I was like, I had to get the ribbons out, you know. Because it's so Rachel. Like, you can't have a Rachel Stevens performance, especially of this song, if she did a set or whatnot.
Mm. Visually, introducing Rachel as a solo act. I mean, the music video director for Sweet Dreams My LAX is Tim Royce, who did Holly Valance's Kiss Kiss. This is a man who knows how to do sexy.
Oh, God.
And then 19 Management, interestingly enough, also got him to do Emma Bunton's Free Me when they were relaunching Emma as his sexy new pop star.
Wow, what a go-to.
Now, looking at just the outfits and the visual palette of this, you know, Rachel's in all black now.
Mm.
She's a bit more grown up. But it's never too, like, risque. You know, there's always that fine balance with the way she's styled in this era.
Mm. Even in S Club 7, she was still doing FHM and stuff.
Oh, did it start even when she was in the band?
Well, the four of the girls did a cover shoot for FHM.
Oh.
Rachel had to miss some S Club tour rehearsals for one of the tours to go and do something with FHM and then came back. So the UK public, at least, were already seeing her as
this sexy both
a
pop star,
and a sex symbol.
Wow.
But yeah, 3 years in a row, you've voted the sexiest woman in Britain.
I know.
And now, how does that feel? Is it in any way, does that touch your life? Does that feel any sort of pressure involved in that kind of accolade?
My mum gets very excited by the fact that I'm voted in FHM. She's got, as soon as I walked into the house, the kitchen's right in front of me. She's got the calendar up on the wall, which is quite scary. I think all women, no matter whether you're in the public eye or not, and men, feel pressure, you know, in this society. So yeah, I do. I do have my days where I'm like, oh, I don't, you know, feel great or whatever, but.
So, Sweet Dreams, My LAX spent 4 weeks in the top five.
Literally, what a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive. Ended up selling over 275,000 copies in the UK, certifying silver.
And, you know, it did stuff around the rest of Europe as well. 25 in Belgium, number 2 in Denmark.
Obviously, a lot of our favourite pop groups from this era were big in Asia. Mm. I wonder how Rachel did in Japan and Asia, I know those countries.
It's very strange that there was no prominence there.
Yeah, because I remember when I would, you know, at this time I was living in Australia and we'd go back and visit my family in Malaysia quite often. And I did see this album on the shelves there.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. And do you know from recollection if S Club were quite big in Malaysia?
I mean, yeah, the albums were there, so.
We also have to say, on the year-end charts in the UK in 2003, this was placed at number 22.
Wow, 22nd best-selling single of that year. That's pretty impressive.
That's like the amount, as many listeners as we have, 22.
And get this, Joel. This single was nominated for a Brit Award for Best British Single in 2004.
And it was robbed for not winning it.
Very sad, but it went to Dido's White Flag, so.
Ugh.
Oh, no, I really like that song. He rolls his eyes. Sweet Dreams, My LAX was also nominated for Record of the Year. It came 6.
Oh, I wonder what the top five were.
Probably the Black Eyed Peas or something. Okay, so following that comes Rachel's debut album, Funky Dory, released 2 weeks after her first single. I didn't realise it was a play on David Bowie's album title.
I didn't at the time, but I obviously
know
that as an
adult. I mean, I only found out literally last year. It's really strange because the company I work for represented David Bowie for pretty much most of his career, right up to the end.
Wow.
So I think at some point it came up in conversation that Bowie had an album called Hunky Dory, and I thought, oh, that's a bit of a rip-off of Rachel Stevens, isn't it? How funny is it that Bowie is popping up on all our faves? Samantha Mumba's Body to Body, Rachel Stevens. I mean, this was the time where he was probably like, yeah, just say yes to it.
I mean, get that cash. But I mean, that man is such a pioneer that you would see reflections of it regardless, but we're seeing actual physical inclusions of his work. So this album, I didn't realise until I was an adult that it was re-released.
Mm.
So I had the re-release when it came out, but I thought that was just the initial release. I didn't realise there was two.
Okay, shall we look at this album real quick?
Let's look at this album. It's a real, you've got to appreciate, it is a very mixed bag.
You know, you've got a member of S Club 7 here. On paper, it shouldn't be something this eclectic and this wild and sonically diverse. You know, you don't expect to hear bits of blues, bits of bossa nova with, you know, spiky R&B flavoured pop.
Yeah. Some standout tracks for me are Fools, definitely, is it? Could have been a single.
Mm-hmm.
And that was featured on the Princess Diaries 2 soundtrack with re-recorded lyrics that were a bit more PG or universal friendly. And then, you have Breathe In, Breathe Out, which I remember when Hilary Duff announced that's what the album was called. People were like, this better not be a Rachel Stevens cover.
And you were like, it better be.
And then you reminded me today, or made me realise, that there's a different version on the re-release, which is a superior version, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Can you feel what I'm feeling now? Every dark cloud's gone away out of sight. Can you feel
In terms of my favourites on the album, so Love Breathing, Breathe Out, but also Blue Afternoon.
Oh, quite, yeah.
That kind of jazz cafe bossa nova sounding track.
And very, you know, which I think we've kind of said about songs before, but it's that kind of Sunday afternoon feeling of, you know.
But like Sunday afternoon with like a mojito. Initially, when I went through this album and was trying to decide whether I want to buy it or not, I decided not to because there weren't enough standout bops for me. But listening to it again now, I can really, really appreciate the musicality of it.
If you look at the re-release, you also had Some Girls and More, More, More included on it. So if you look at that as a full body of work, I think it makes the album that...
A little bit more justifiable.
A little bit more justifiable. Yeah. Are there any other songs I want to mention before we leave?
I mean, we touched on this in our Christina Milian episode, but the album track Glide has the same track as Christina Milian's album track I Need More from her It's About Time album. Literally the same beat, different melody, different lyrics. So,
well, do you remember when you tweeted it and we had a little, not mini feud, but I said that Rachel's vocal was much better and you were like, come on, Joel, really? And I was like, Rachel's version's better. Also, do want to give a little shout out to Heaven Has to Wait. It's kind of like the mini prequel to Nothing Good About This Goodbye, I would say, as a song. It's kind of that one ballad on the album.
Did you see her performance of this on GMTV?
That's what made me think of it in comparison to Nothing Good About This Goodbye, because she also did that with that song.
Wow.
So it's kind of that one performance to kind of sell the album as a whole.
Yeah.
You know.
Show a bit of variety.
Nice too. That's this is me as a pop star now. Sit down on your chair to do the ballad with your two backing singers. You're all miming, but you've made the track sound a little bit more live. There's a little bit more breathing on it and stuff. So the regional folk at home might think you're singing live.
And also, very important, White Candles.
Oh.
You need to have candles in the mood like this.
Yeah, quickly pop to Wilkinson en route. It's right. This would be me as a pop star. Stop the car! Need some candles for this performance today.
So, Funky Dory, the album, debuted at number 9 on the UK charts and dropped out of the top 30 in its third week. So, but not quite the commercial results they were maybe hoping for.
It's not too bad, you know, and the second... The re-release did peak at number 13, so that's an album that's already been released.
Yeah.
And at the end-of-year charts in 2003, it was at 165, and in 2004, 180. So that's 2 years where it ends on the end-of-year charts.
Outside of the top 100.
I'm sorry, Hannah. How many albums on the end-of-year top 200 do you have? Look, it was still certified gold, Sunshine.
I mean, that was the sound of a reach and a grasp, but yes. Before we get to the end of 2003, Rachel releases the second single from the album, Funky Dory, and indeed. Glam, slam. Interesting avant-garde choice for a single.
I do not think it should have been a single. It's more, that's an album track that gives you clout. You can be like, listen to Rachel's album, listen to the song Funky Dory, you know.
Yeah, listen to the one that samples Bowie, yeah. I really enjoyed the music video. She looks dead stunning in it. It's like pretty with a bit of an edge.
Which is Rachel, pretty with a bit of an edge.
Yeah. Which I think a lot of people might say as a bit of a criticism that Rachel is that pop star that didn't quite have a personality.
Yeah, and I have no time for that argument or statement. That's part of pop music. You get different kinds of pop stars, ones that are really vocally driven and driving their force, and others that, like I've said many times, you've got to look at it as more of a production. There's so many layers to it. I don't see a nice pop star with... lack of personality. I see this this pop sultress that delivers such perfection and also that seems like a genuinely lovely person.
She does definitely come across as a very genuinely classy, elegant woman.
Exactly, you know, those things.
You've sort of, in a way that Kylie does very well, actually.
It's funny you should say that. I think Rachel could have become sort of the next Kylie Minogue for the UK, especially when you look at what we're about to get into with the second album.
Yeah.
And it's a real shame, it's but we will shame. Get into it.
Yeah. So, Funky Dory, the single, made number 26 in the UK. There was limited promo around this time, just in the lead up to the Christmas rush. So, understandably, got a bit lost.
You know, if it's not a standout for a Christmas single, it was released on the 8th of December. It's going to get lost in the shuffle.
So then next comes the incredibly exciting Some Girls.
Thank God for this song, because it gave us a further album with so... set the direction.
For Come and Get It. Because this is a genius, this song. It is absolute perfection.
Well, I mean, it was quoted as she came to save her career, but she ended up saving pop music.
That's an incredible quote.
I think it was BBC, their review for that. But wow. I may be incorrect.
When this single came out, this was when I really started to notice Rachel Stevens. I really sat the fuck up at this point. I mean, Sweet Dreams, My LAX, I was kind of tickled by it. I was like, oh, okay, this has whetted my appetite. And then I sort of didn't hear anything. And then July 2004, bam. Boom. That really icy, cold electropop sound. I think around this time, Goldfrapp was coming out with Strict Machine as well. That changed my life, hearing the production.
The song was a charity single for Sports Relief, and again, thank God, because that helped with the factor and with it being such a big hit and help other people recognise it that couldn't. I was watching it yesterday, and Alex pointed out to me that all these men in it are sports stars doing cameos.
I was about to ask you, Joel, because it's Sport Relief. I was like, some of these men have proper close-ups. So I was like, are they somebody we should know?
So all these years, he told me, and I was like, oh. And he's like, yeah, you know, they're national treasures. I was like, she's a national treasure.
Yeah, that's the only national treasure we know about. No offence, but... Shall we talk about the origins of Some Girls? Because it has a very interesting story about how it came about.
Yes.
Some Girls is written by Richard X, the producer, and Hannah Robinson. It was originally written with Girls Aloud in mind. Along the way, Simon Fuller's team got wind of this track, and someone from Jerry's team, Jerry Halliwell / Horner's team, got wind of it. And suddenly we have a situation where Jerry wants to record Some Girls and 19 Management want Rachel to record it. It was decided by the writers that they were going to give it to Rachel because there was already some interest from Sports Relief in making this the charity single.
I remember hearing about this now. Didn't Jerry, like, literally...
This is all according to...
hearsay.
Well, I think Richard X had told this story before, and Annie, an artist that Richard X works with, had also corroborated the facts.
Wow.
Apparently, when Jerry heard that it's gone to Rachel, she wasn't very pleased with it, and she locked herself in a car. And
do you know what? I'm locking myself in this car because they're giving that song to Rachel. Rachel Stevens. I was with Simon Fuller before she was. Oh, do you know what? No, that's really annoyed me. I'm really pissed off about that. No, can't someone do something about this? Honestly, I'm Jerry Halliwell.
So, anyway, Annie, who's this... Do you know Annie? I bring up Annie.
No, because you tweeted about Annie once and I put a gif of Annie, the movie musical, The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow, and you did not appreciate it. Well, you didn't acknowledge it, which made me think you did not appreciate it.
So Annie is a brilliant Norwegian artist that works with Richard X. Mm. And she wrote a song about Jerry that references this incident. So on Annie's first album, Animal, she had a song called Me Plus One.
Can you send me a link to this song once we're done?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm surprised you didn't know about this. So there's a lyric in a song that says, take a look at yourself, get out of the car. It's time to let it go. it's gone.
That's fantastic.
This is like a very kind of Pop Justice Forums kind of story.
Yeah.
I feel, because it's like
urban legend, but actually but checks actually, out.
Yeah, because it's, you know, it's all the Pop Justice key players. You know, you've got Annie, you've got Rachel Stevens, you've got Richard X. Like, this is a story of stories in that universe that the gays live for.
So speaking of Pop Justice, this song won the Best Pop Record of 2004 from the Pop Justice £20 Music Prize. Now, it sounds silly, but that was a really sort of cool thing to be able to win.
It is a really cool thing, and I've always wanted to go to one of those.
Oh, they don't do it anymore, do they?
No, I think they still do.
Oh, yeah. Hello, invite the right back at you boys at the next one.
Yeah, but we're probably not cool enough to get invited. So.
Look, we can be edgy. I bought the Maroon 5 album and the Rachel album. I don't know why I'm doing that silly
You're doing
accent.
That northern accent again.
It's because it goes with edge.
Now, Joel, do you know about the extended mix of this song?
Yes, David, do you not remember? You told me about it last year and I didn't know about it. And we sat down together and you got to experience me hearing it for the first time ever.
How great is that?
Oh, it's incredible. You still not sent me the MP3 of that. I need
yes,
that
I did.
Copy.
I did send it to you. Okay, but I'll resend it. But basically, for those of you who don't know, what Rich Dex did in the studio was that he created this extended mix, but he interviewed Rachel and, like, just asked her random questions of, you know, what do you like about fashion in the 80s? And he kind of cut out all the sound bites, sort of like what we do on this podcast, and put it to the track. And what you get is, like, this really cool, like, spoken word Rachel track over the beat, and it's like...
Did you just try and compare us to Rich Dex?
Me on GarageBand.
Yeah, this is the Richard X of podcasts, if only.
Big, big ears, big hair, made, like, really cool sort of scarf or something. This really cool top with, like, fringes. Big platform shoes. Everything's big.
Rachel Stevens is a Guinness World Record holder.
Oh.
Did you know that?
No.
She holds the Guinness World Record for most performances in different cities within the UK in 24 hours. So for one day of promo, she did lots of pop-up performances in
more,
like eight
more
or
so
nine.
Than Victoria Beckham circa Out of Your Mind.
Yeah, in one day, in 24 hours. It was to get the Guinness World Record, I believe.
Oh, it was too.
It was kind of like a...
Yeah.
We'll do this and you'll get that. And a part of the... Because I think they did a televised special for Guinness World Record, so it was included in that.
Oh, my God. Also, genius move.
You'll be next PR move.
Oh, right. Yeah. We'll that's going in my PR plan, yeah.
Just explain to us exactly what your challenge is, Rachel.
Well, I had to visit 7 different cities and spend 15 minutes in each place. So performing, interviews, meet and greets, that kind of
right.
thing.
Right. How did you find it?
Oh, at the beginning, I thought it was going to be really... It was really fun, but I thought it was just a laugh. And I got there and there were people with stopwatches and it was like really
all
serious.
All official on this show.
And the rules and... Yeah. Okay.
So the song was a monumental success and thank God. Again, it peaked at number 2. Sweet Dreams and Some Girls should have both been number ones. Mm. Just saying it here and now.
It's just the timing of it, isn't it? Because this time Rachel was blocked from number one by the Shapeshifters' Lola's Theme, which was a huge, huge summer hit.
Don't know that one.
I think you'd know it when you hear it.
Yeah.
You definitely
well,
will.
Well, are we still talking about that however many years on? Who's the long-term winner, eh?
So off the back of the success of Some Girls, Rachel then reissues her Funky Dory album. So we've got Some Girls on there now. Track one, let's not waste anyone's time. And also a cover of More, More, More. And a new mix of Breathe In, Breathe Out. And as you said before, the album got a second life. Went back up the charts, up to number 13. Following that, Rachel releases More, More, More.
So, ongoing thing of David, and that I love to tease David about, is that... Sometimes he doesn't know if a song's a cover. And More, More, More was one of these things, one of these songs. So he thought that Rachel Stevens' More, More, More was an original song.
I really did.
He didn't realise that
for
it was
very,
a cover.
For very, very, very many years. In fact, it was covered by Bananarama previously. So there literally is no excuse for me to not even know this. But
a lot of people might kind of say it's budget or whatnot. But I think for this is serving as what, the fourth single of her debut album.
You know, it's got this kind of really noughties disco vibe to it. And up until now, we haven't really heard Rachel do anything quite as frivolous and quite as fun, have we?
No.
You know, it's always a little bit sassier, a little bit with a pop with a bit of an edge. And this time she's like, fuck it, I'm going to do a disco pop kind of cover.
Girls' night out, let's have some fun.
Yeah, you know, she had gorgeous curls in her hair in the music video, do you remember? And she had that jumpsuit. She looks stunning here.
How do you like my love? So it's been used, it's lived on because it still pops up in adverts now and then. Back in the day, it was used for the sofa retailer SCS. I mean, I don't watch live TV anymore, just streaming, but it did pop up a lot. Maybe it still does, I don't know.
I mean, it was quite famous at the time for being in all the ads for Sky Sports football coverage. So.
I wouldn't have known then and I wouldn't have known now.
But I find it really interesting that Rachel's got this career and this other aspect of her public life that appeals to straight men almost as equally as she appeals to us gays.
Very equally, and it's really sexy in all those lad mags in a lot of shoots. And in the same way that Louise is as well, because Louise. Lad's mag's favourite.
Yeah, she was.
But only from personal experience, and why I bring it up is because I talk about my teenage bedroom, there was no wall left, it was posters everywhere. I desperately wanted a big Rachel Stevens poster. And the only official released one was kind of her sitting at a window looking out in kind of like a corset and knickers. And it was like, I don't want that on my bedroom wall. Yeah. Even though I wasn't, you know, out then, you know, so I could have got it as a guise of like, yeah. But I just didn't fancy that. I wanted something a bit more fun.
Yeah.
And also around that time, she would release kind of very sexy calendars and still really classy, but it was a bit too sexy for my month to month.
And let's not forget, she was the first woman to front a campaign for testicular cancer awareness. So, you know, she's definitely using her status in that world to raise awareness and use it for good as well. So I think it's a fine line to walk, but, you know, when you've got someone like Rachel who is a class act, you know, it is very possible, and it makes it a dream work.
And just seems so open-minded to do that kind of thing
exactly,
as well.
Exactly, yeah. But anyway,
More
became Rachel's third top three hit. What a banger. Number three on the charts. So it sort of feels really good for Rachel Stevens at this point. She had some Girls in the Summer, and now before the end of the year, she's got another top three hit with More, More, More. It does feel like the momentum is building towards something bigger and greater.
I wish these top fives continued. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Also, before we get to the end of 2004, Rachel recorded a cover of Knock on Wood.
Thank God you brought that up. And it kind of very fits in with the More, More, More era.
Yeah.
And there's the incredible performance that she did from the ITV2 special. I'm assuming it was Disco Mania. It would definitely mean something like that. I adore Rachel Stevens' version of Knock on Wood. I'm wood, baby.
Also, just to quickly mention, she was in the Band Aid 20, Do They Know It's Christmas?
She was, even though she wasn't originally invited to be part of it. Do you not know this story? Rachel was part of Band Aid 20's Do They Know It's Christmas. Although she was not originally invited to be part of it, she showed up with Will Young. So I think it was either one of two things. Simon Fuller either told her she was, and they got a car together, Will and Rachel, or Rachel came with... Or Simon came with Will and Rachel on the day and kind of said, you've only got Will if Rachel's part of it as well.
Ooh, yeah.
And I remember being upset at the time thinking, why hasn't she got a solo? Just shaking the maracas there. Turns out that's why it was.
Also, before we get to the end of 2004, Rachel won Best Female Artist from, get this, couldn't be a more different kind of audience, Disney Channel's Kids Awards and the NME Awards.
both incredibly prestigious.
Very prestigious, different audiences, but they consider her their best female artist.
And she was. And that just shows her where she was straddling those two worlds at the same time, simultaneously, as an artist.
And then now we get to March 2005, and we now have the first single from the new era of Rachel Stevens, Negotiate With Love. The case is closed, I don't negotiate with love. You made your choice, I won't negotiate with love. What is it you don't understand? Respect is all that I demand. You took my heart, you held my hand, so listen up and understand. Case is closed, I don't negotiate with love.
Can I say something quite controversial?
You don't like it.
It's not as simple as that. I always thought it was a very weak first single for this incredible era, but it was only this year, after listening to it non-stop since release, it kind of, I had an epiphany and I was just like, this song is incredible.
It is a certain kind of genius, this song. So Negotiate With Love was written by the Nervo twins, who are Australian. Now, this was their big breakthrough songwriting moment, which eventually from this would lead to them writing for Kylie and also Kelly Rowland when Love Takes Over.
Wow.
And they would eventually go on to open for Britney on the Femme Fatale tour.
In the UK? No.
In just America.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. This song is genius. And the music video, you've got so many Rachels trashing an apartment.
And we see that bit where she's got the pillows. It says love. And then doesn't it? She flips it over and it's over. Right?
I thought she flipped it to Rachel. No, maybe it is
over. Oh, no, maybe it is Rachel that she...
Either way, she originated the Drag Race reveal. And you did the incredible at the royal wedding of Rachel, of Meghan and Harry waving, and then you put Rachel with a still from this video as the other picture. Some of your best work, that. This song, when it was released as a single, included, as we heard about on... There's the boys that have the really good Girls Aloud podcast, Leads of the Pack. They spent an episode playing these bonus games that Polydor would start to put on their releases. And now we see on this Negotiate With Love, Rachel had a PC game on the CD of this.
A PC game?
Yeah, I think we'll see it in maybe in So Good and maybe I Said Never Again as well. So I would love to have seen what these little games were that you pop into your computer and you play as Rachel doing something. Maybe it was Rachel trashing the flat or something like that.
If anyone has the CD single or has played this game, can you let us know what happens?
Of any of this era. It's a shame we never got to see a Girls Aloud and Rachel collaboration in this era. That would have been really good.
Yeah, it did seem like it could have been a possibility because they were on the same label. I mean, even them touring together...
Yeah, that would have been something.
I mean, would you have Rachel open for Girls Aloud, or is that too controversial?
Obviously, in my mind, I would like to have seen Rachel as the headliner. But I think that just wouldn't quite work out, because Rachel would be too big, but not big enough to headline, but too big to support
Girls Aloud.
Because this was around the time I saw the girls on the Chemistry tour. They're touring arenas. Whereas Rachel really could have done a nice tour in this era, like, you know, doing one or two nights at Hammersmith Apollo, kind of what Girls Aloud did on the What Will the Neighbours Say tour, you know, big venues, but not arenas yet. That's what I would love to have seen from Rachel. But yeah, if they'd toured together, or I don't know, maybe they could have integrated something, or Polydor could have done like a pop, the Polydor pop night, just one-off night or something.
Should we talk about the chart position?
Yeah. The song peaked at number 10 here in the UK, number 22 on the UK downloads chart. So we're getting into a new time where they're not fully merged yet, or they're being kept separate. This is a time when it was a big deal that Rihanna was the first person to get to number 5 on downloads alone. It did give Rachel her fourth top 10 hit as a solo act.
Yeah, nothing to be sneezed at.
No. And also, Negotiate With Love has the banging B-side Queen. I don't know if you listened to that in your research for this album.
I did. I love a good B-side that isn't... like, you know, sometimes they throw you like an album track and you're like...
Listen, Which is fair enough if it's like the first single before the album's out.
Yeah, because you don't know that's an album track.
Rachel's given us some great B-sides. Spin Waiting That Bottle, Game. Waiting Game.
Yes.
I don't think Waiting Game's on streaming, is it? Because that is really good.
So now we get to what Joel calls the first single, or the lead single of the campaign. So Good, in July 2005.
So the genre on Wikipedia is new disco.
As in N-U.
N-U.
New disco.
New dash disco. Fabulous. Oh, so I'd like to announce that my new disco album is dropping in some point in the next 20 years.
I loved the heavy 80s electro beat behind this one. The minute that beat kicks in, you're like, bitch, get out of my way. You gotta strut to it.
You gotta strut like you mean it.
You gotta strut like you mean it to this track.
This really does introduce us to the electro pop feel that we're gonna have throughout the album.
So, what did you think of the music video for So Good? The iconic cropped gloves, which...
We should have bought a pair each to be wearing for today.
Maybe we'll do that for the promo.
Yeah.
We'll make our own cropped burgundy gloves. I have to say, the first time I saw these kind of gloves was on Danny Minogue's Put the Needle on It video, which came out 3 years before this. But it's okay, Rachel can have a moment too.
Yeah, you know, that would be like saying we're the only pop music podcast.
Yeah, which, you know, it's not true, but I'd like us to be the Danny.
Yeah.
Of,
you know,
the genre. Or do we want to be the Rachel of the genre? I don't know.
No, we want to be the Danny. Like, yeah. There's a bit more of a following. The lights in it kind of remind me of, like, how we see the RuPaul kind of... Idents now before the runway and everything.
Also very GAY in Manchester. Do you remember? I mean, this whole video is a GAY performance.
Mm. Rachel Stevens, my idol, did a set to promote I Said Never Again in the album at London's Astoria when GAY was still at London's Astoria. And she did, like, greatest hits. You know, these singles, Sweet Dreams, My Ex, Some Girls.
Yeah, which is, I mean, that's a full set. All bops.
All bops. No flops. And she served, like, probably, most definitely, like, a sexy leather outfit. I think she wore a leather hat, which is probably why you're wearing yours right now.
Oh, yes.
Because I remember it would have been in the Metro on the Monday, like, Rachel served sexy at London's GAY.
Wow.
Obviously, I was 14, 15 at this time. So I did not get to go. But my sister Kylie and her friends went. They were on a night out and they, last minute, tried to see if they could get into GAY because it was a bunch of straight girls. They got in, they saw Rachel perform. And at Astoria, there was the balcony. So Kylie, the next day, would have been like a Sunday morning, I'm sat there having cereal. She goes in and goes, Joel, you won't guess what we did last night. And I'm like, what? Just we saw Rachel Stevens perform at GAY, and I'm like, part of me's like, because you know, I'm not out, so I'm like, all right, but I'm also like really jealous,
yeah.
Incredibly jealous. So she showed me on her tiny little phone, like pixelated little video of like Rachel,
you know, back
performing.
On these old Motorolas,
yeah. So she's at the front of the balcony, so up and over, having a really lovely view of Rachel, and she's telling me about the set list and everything, and I'm just there like,
dying.
Living, but also furiously jealous.
Mm.
Oh,
I mean, what a time to be alive to see that set. Two. Is this on YouTube anywhere?
No, so it's not like when Victoria Beckham, that set list is on YouTube. As far as I'm aware, this is not.
Someone's got to have some dodgy camera recording of this somewhere. Please upload it on YouTube if you know someone. If you're a homosexual in a know of someone in a know.
Let us know.
Just fucking get onto it. Just do it. We're dying to see this for those of us who didn't get to experience this iconic moment. So Good peaked at number 10 on the UK singles chart. So this is her second consecutive number 10 single from this era. Now, I hate to say this, but at that time, a single debuting and peaking at number 10 doesn't fill the record companies with a lot of hope, does it?
No, now it would be great.
And then we get to October 2005, and we have I Said Never Again, in brackets, but here we are. The one who's creeping, well, love so deceiving.
I would go on record to say that I think this is my favourite Rachel Stevens record.
Wow.
I would go as far to say as it used to be my favourite Rachel Stevens record for the bulk of my life. Now where I've overdone all the singles, there's so much love for all the other tracks, all the album tracks.
I feel that. Okay.
I think things could have been differently, as I've said, if this was the first single of the era.
Definitely. Do you think they were saving this absolute banger of a track for when the album's just about to come out.
Yeah.
Just to stimulate that interest, you know? Because I think in a way it's very clever if that was the original plan. So, Joel, as I said, around this time, I was living for Girls Aloud. But also that summer, Charlotte Church came out with her pop album, as you may recall. Tissues and Issues. She had the great single Crazy Chick, Call My Name, and then there's an album track called Let's Be Alone, which is all very, you know, if you love Girls Aloud, like these tracks could well complement that.
Mm.
So you've got that, you've got Charlotte Church, and you've got I Said Never Again. And that to me was a whole mood, a whole sound.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, like after 2004, you know, post Ashley Simpson debut, pop rock was starting to be the sort of flavour on the charts, wasn't it? But I always, as an Australian growing up there and, you know, seeing what Americans were doing with this pop rock sound, I was always much more drawn to what the Brits were doing. Like, it was just a little bit more clever and a little bit less bubblegum and cheesy, I guess. Because I loved what was going on with all these tracks. You know, they incorporated guitars, but it wasn't like trying to be too polished.
Yeah.
It made sense.
So this song is incredible. The music video, so much fun. It's set in a prison. It was shot in the same location of the UK TV show Bad Girls, which was incredibly popular here. Rachel is, she's a person that's banged up.
She's a bad girl.
She's a bad girl.
It's supposed to look like all us girls are visiting our boyfriends in prison, but it actually turns out that we're the ones in prison.
And the promo for this song was great. She performed it at the Smash Hits Poll Winners Party this year, which is one of her only, it's not a completely live vocal, but she's singing live over the track. It's one of the very rare times we see that, which is a real shame. I wish Rachel's record company had more confidence in her and her vocal, or he'd had more opportunities, because she has such a stunning vocal. You know, we've heard her sing live many times back on the S Club 7 tours. What we'll say about this time, before we get into the album, is that you look on the flip side, so this is how you really have a classy pop star doing everything right. This is the time when Pop Justice sent out that infamous email saying, kind of, you know, it looks like it's going to go in at number 10 again, and it ended up going in at 12, but what can we, like, what can be done? What is going wrong here? What else could have been done, you know?
Mm.
I see it as more of our failure as a nation, not Rachel's failure. There's nothing that went wrong. So then on the flip side, you had Lisa Scott Lee doing Electric around this time.
Ooh, girl.
There's a kids' TV show where they're both on the same episode doing promo.
Okay.
And it's just like, if Rachel's going in at number 12 with this, how is Lisa expected to get a top 10 hit with Electric, you know?
Where did Lisa end up again?
13. Electric was released the week after.
So Lisa didn't want to go up against Rachel.
You wouldn't want to go up against Rachel, would you? You've got her doing her one-off documentary, My World, which was on T4, that's a main channel. Whereas then you've got Lisa doing her MTV reality show, which is more like making a joke of her in the edit.
Let me pass the news over to Lisa and we'll talk later, all right?
What is it?
Okay.
Just tell me what it is. Come on, Nate.
23.
Oh, that's really shit.
I'm disappointed.
That's really shit.
It's tough, though. There's a lot, they've said, there's a lot out there. You know, you're just behind Linkin Park and, you know, we've had a very low airplay.
Capital.
And this is no shade, like, Lisa is the hardest working member of Steps.
Okay, so shall we get into the iconic album that is Come and Get It?
This is the reason why we're here, guys. This album is incredible. This album, it's probably the first album that I've genuinely loved every song and could, and from the get-go, listened to every song and really took it in as a whole body experience.
Wow.
This album is part of my holy trinity of noughties pop albums. Rachel Stevens' Come and Get It, Britney Spears' Blackout,
ooh,
Hilary Duff, Dignity.
Okay.
Now you need to really pay attention to that album. Have you ever listened to it?
I reviewed Dignity for a national newspaper in Australia, so yes I did, Joel.
And did you give it a positive review?
I'm too scared to say. You know where I sleep.
You sleep with one eye open tonight, young man.
Okay, I love it. It's in your holy trinity.
Yeah.
Damn. And this is, I mean, I know we've said this a billion times before, but it is so underrated as a pop classic. The Guardian placed it in their 1,000 albums you must hear before you die.
I'm always quick to tell people about The Guardian, and people sort of laugh at me because of there's 1,000, but I'm like...
But think of how many albums there are in the history of music, and it's there in the list. This is iconic. So, Joel, I love that you had this upon release. I, too, had it on release, but as an illegal download.
So, I think what we have to say at this era is this album, if memory recalls, leaked quite early.
Oh.
Because I also had a download of it, kind of as soon as it popped up.
Oh.
And I remember the original, and I've never been able to find it since, so I don't know if it's my memory playing tricks on me, but... Nothing Good About This Goodbye, when it initially leaked, had a slightly different intro.
Yes, I think I know what you're talking about. Because now I don't have a CD player, so I just stream off Spotify. And I remember thinking the first time I heard it on Spotify, I was like, okay, this is definitely different to the version I have.
Yeah.
So years later, when I had a little bit more pocket money, I imported this CD. Because I don't think they released this in Australia, this album. It changed my life, this album. It just completely showed me a whole new possibility for what a female pop star's album could be in this decade. Every song just sat together so beautifully. I would even put this up there alongside Danny Minogue's Neon Nights as a very cohesive body of work.
Definitely.
Kylie's Fever. It's up there as just literally perfection.
It's, you don't think a Rachel Stevens album is going to be like this.
Mm-hmm.
So I did download the album. I then did buy it legally, but it was from a store on Romford Market, and it's the legit version and everything. And it was the, it's the limited edition with the bonus DVD, which I'm so happy I had as a child. Well, as a teenager, that gave me so much enjoyment. I used to just have it on again and again and again and again. Because, you know, this is, YouTube's not quite here yet. So this is the first time I had access to all these music videos.
In good quality.
In good quality. And, like, being able to choose when I wanted to watch them. But I'm assuming this market stall did not go towards the chart.
Oh. But still, you got a good version of it.
And yeah, it was completely legal. But, yeah, you know... so much so at Kylie's 18th birthday, my sister Kylie's 18th birthday party, it was sort of putting around all the different CDs, all her friends, I'm obviously a few years younger, I keep putting on this Rachel Stevens DVD with all the music videos. Me thinking I'm like a really cool DJ. I just like keep on putting... that party kept flipping between the Pussycat Dolls and that Rachel Stevens DVD.
That sounds like the dream to me. But yes, the Come and Get It album. What a tour de force of electropop songs. Fun, sophisticated... Really, I mean, there is a nod to the 80s on it, but it's not overly retro. Really does feel very current for its time, or even ahead of its time, you would say.
This album is ahead of its time. When you look at, we're not going to get Blackout for another 2 years, and that album is ahead of its time.
I mean, that set the trend, Blackout. You know, I think, I'm not sure if we can say Come and Get It set a trend, but it was certainly a vibe, because this was a time where I was really into anything sort of 80s electro sounding. You know, we had Danny Minogue's Neon Nights, we had this album, and then we had Kelly Osbourne's album Sleeping in the Nothing.
Which is not on streaming services.
Sadly. And Mariah's Glitter soundtrack.
Get them on streaming. For me, what makes it so special, though, is it is something very of its own. It seems like it's on its own little island out there. Yeah, it's similar to other things, but...
Tangentially, yes. But as a body of work, you can just love it. Yeah. Shall we get into the tracks?
Let's get into the tracks, guys. Sit down, get a cup of tea, do whatever you need to do. This is why we're here.
So, okay, we've already talked about So Good and I Said Never Again, the singles. And we go to track 3,
Crazy Boys. The Richard X contribution to this album.
I was so obsessed with this back in the day. I mean, similar to the way So Good has, you know, it gets you from the opening bars of the song, Crazy Boys does it as well. You know, really dark, really dramatic. And I only recently found out that it was, they did promo singles of this. That it was potentially to be considered as a single.
Well, on the message boards and stuff of the time, this was always, this and Nothing Good About This Goodbye with the rumoured next singles.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine in a world if they were a double A side.
The
great thing about this album is that every single song could have been a single. Imagine if this was the time where a visual album had been around this.
Oh.
Imagine if we had had Rachel doing her own Lemonade, a very like this sort of chanteuse, this femme fatale, this mistress, you know, that we get that if we take the vibe of Je M'appelle audioly and put that visually to the entire album and we follow that woman around.
Ooh, I love this. Imagine the tour for this, the visuals for that, the themes.
You know, the Come and Get It tour.
Yeah, you know, a bit spacey, like kind of Y2K space, but then also a little bit of that kind of, cat suits.
Yeah.
Very slick.
This is what you get at our company, is I'm like, every mistress, move. Everything. And then you go, cat suits.
That's our mood board. High ponytail and cat suits.
We invented Ariana Grande's ponytail. So next track we have I Will Be There.
It's a really beautiful kind of spacey mid-tempo, isn't it?
It's a gorgeous mid-tempo.
I know we've mentioned Kylie before in this episode, and it's only just struck me how... Because, you know, Kylie can do an excellent... bittersweet song that has really bright melodies but also really sad lyrics, and Rachel's vocals, there's that warmth to it that really translates.
You listen
to a song like I Will Be There and you're like, I don't know if I'm meant to feel sad or in love or like happy. Or
I would arguably say that Rachel's a better singer than Kylie Minogue with the vocal tone. I mean, I don't want death threats, so don't include that in the edit.
Doesn't have to be the end. Is it okay? Is it okay? If I meet you in heaven? Is it alright? And then we come to Negotiate with Love, which we've already fangirled about. And then track six
is... It's All About Me.
This one wasn't one I really got back in the day.
Right.
In fact, I might have deleted this track from my MP3 CD back in the day. Because I was just like, I'm running out of space. I don't think I really need this one.
Well, she's telling you it's all about me. She's Rachel.
But interestingly, this is produced by Fraser T. Smith, who, you know, goes on to work with Adele and I think Stormzy.
I'm just hearing Rachel and a couple of question marks.
And you can tell, like, it's a Fraser T. Smith song because it does have a little bit more of an alternative feel to it than some of the other more glossier productions on this album. She met him Saturday. He stole her heart away. 24 Sunday. They didn't chill at home. Romantic Monday. Tuesday.
So next up at track seven, we have Secret Garden.
Gorgeous.
I mean, you can even see it because it starts off in more sort of the higher part of her range, you know, in the higher sort of head voice. And it's...
Very dreamy.
Very dreamy.
I love it. Do you know what this vocal reminds me of? And I know you're not going to get it because you say you don't listen to Annie. But listen to Annie's songs. In fact, I was like convinced at one point that Annie wrote Secret Garden because vocally... Especially in the verses, the way it's kind of really very cold and very icy and robotic. Mm. That is very Annie's style. So the single was written by Johnny Douglas and Karen Poole of Alicia's Attic.
Oh, wow. Yes.
So Karen Poole has done lots of songwriting for all of our faves in this era, most notably for Kylie's Body Language album. I think she's also written for Lily Allen after that. So this is a Karen Poole moment.
So, speaking of Alicia's Attic, I've had my own Ms. Paul moment. One of Alicia's Attic, I'm not sure if it was Karen or her sister off the top of my head now, came to my web series launch party, which you came to. So, my mockumentary with my comedy duo Bosch and Babs that I directed, Obsessed, The Unwanted Side of Fame, we had this big launch party. And one of Alicia's Attic came. At the time, I did know it's a friend of a friend. I can't remember the name off my top of my head now. But thank God I didn't know she wrote on an album track because I would have hounded that poor woman all night about it. So next up, we have Nothing Good About This Goodbye. And this song is so stunning. For me, as much as I love Crazy Boys, if there was going to be a fourth single, it should have been this one.
100% should have been this one. This is a mood.
I've said it in an earlier episode, but this could have been her Whole Again.
Yes, because we, you know, with Whole Again, it was meant to be the last shot single for Atomic Kitten before they got dropped. And then it turned the ship around. So
it's and it could have been an unexpected move from everyone. Yeah. People wouldn't have seen it coming. Only now I've let it go.
Now, it was written by Alexis Strum, who is an artist in her own right, and it was originally meant to be her single, which, sadly, her project never materialised. But she worked on this track with Brian Higgins and Xenomania, so this is a Xenomania contribution to the album. And, you know, you think about the stunning Xenomania ballads, right? Here's my holy trinity of Xenomania mid-tempos. You have... Call the Shots, Girls Aloud, Sugar Babes, Never Gonna Dance Again, Nothing Good About This Goodbye.
I mean, she could still come back with this as a single now.
Is there an anniversary for this coming up? Like, what year was this? 20?
So next year would be 15 years.
Okay, 15 years of Come and Get It. Rachel, start booking these venues, start rehearsing with a band.
We'll do your marketing, your PR.
Yeah.
Add cat suits.
And then track 10, a rather edgy, femme fatale-esque moment for Rachel. Je m'appelle.
I was quite ditzy as a teenager. I was listening to this album walking home from the station once, like, when I newly-ish had it. And then I had it dawned on me, Je m'appelle Rochelle, that she's talking about, like, herself, Rachel. It's, like, it's so stupid, isn't it?
How did you not pick that up?
Well, I think with pop music as well, I don't really listen to the words a lot.
Okay. I think this would have been a very cool tour opening track. You can just imagine the jaunty rhythms and, you know, the strobe lights and everything. And then she emerges. Je m'appelle Rochelle. Psh. Silhouette. Cat suit.
High ponytail. Hello, France. How are we doing? Je m'appelle Rochelle. Let's have a good night. And now, I must have told you about when I met Rachel Stevens, right?
Yes. About the stairs, she doesn't do lifts, she only does stairs, right?
Oh no, that wasn't me. In my line of work, similar to your own line of work, I'm a pop-loving boy, but I am extremely professional at all times. I would never...
It's not a time for fangirling.
It's not a time for fangirling. I'm too professional for that. It doesn't come into it.
No.
But back in the day when I was a runner on ITV's Tipping Point, Rachel was at ITV filming Celebrity Mr. and Mrs. And the AP goes to me, the assistant producer goes to me, and everyone kind of in our green room. Oh, I just saw Rachel Stevens in the hallway and my knees buckled. And I literally went... Everyone was like, what's happened? I literally didn't know how to react. I was just like, oh my God, oh my God. I think because it was A, unexpected.
Yeah.
And B, it was like, this is Rachel Stevens. This is the one person I break my professionalism.
This is actual Rachel.
This is actual Rachel.
And this whole time you've been walking around, going to the canteen, getting your food vouchers, and she's just around the corner.
She's just around.
In the corridor, in the same postcode as you.
So, A, everyone found it hilarious because I was like, I just need to sit down, okay? Had to collect myself.
Like, she could walk in at any minute. She could be lost in a corridor and go, yeah. Oh, sorry.
So I had my eyes peeled all day, obviously. Me and my friends are going to leave the studio and there's a car parked. I've still got my pass and everything. I go, oh, is that Rachel's car? And the driver goes, yeah. And then I'm like, oh. And then you can tell from the look on his face, he's like, oh, fuck, I thought that was obviously the runner from the show. I thought it was the right person. So everyone, wait, we're all going to go to the pub. I made everyone wait with me. And then Rachel and her husband were leaving. And I just went up to her and I said, excuse me, really sorry to bother you. I just had to let you know that I'm a huge fan. And I was really nervous.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like 20. It's not like I'm 20, 21 and... Because I was like, this could never happen again.
So you didn't have time to get into how iconic her work is?
No, inside I just wanted to say come and get it is everything. I wanted to beg her to do a third album, but I was like, no, I can't compose myself as it is. The most composed I can do is say, sorry to bother you, I just had to let you know I'm a huge fan. And she just said, oh, thank you, lovely to meet you. And I was just like, lovely to meet you too. And that was it. I could have asked for the selfie. I could have asked about come and get it, but...
And she could have. And she would have, yeah.
I wasn't. You know, I was still trying to maintain what dignity I had. Let me tell you that up close, she's so petite and she looks even more gorgeous in person. Absolutely stunning. Mm. That was my meeting Rachel Stevens.
Okay.
So next we have Funny How, which is Rachel Stevens' only co-write on the... album. And it's a really lovely song. It's like, we've got to track 11 and there's no filler, there's no dips.
She's really not letting us breathe. Like, she's literally serving it. And it's another Xenomania track moment. Funny how I always know before it's over.
Then we've got Every Little Thing.
Cute.
Our penultimate song.
Yeah. A lot of this album is a little bit of a mood, and, you know, it is punctuated with a few really fun tracks. You've got Some Girls, like you said, I Said Never Again. But then the second half of the album, it really needed that pickup, doesn't yeah. it? And this sort of feels like it could be a little bit of a nod to her more bubblegum pop.
Yeah, moves. Definitely. It is a sweet moment. And then last but not least, we've got Dum Dum.
What a way to close the album.
Yeah.
You know, with a bit of an edge. You're dreaming about a girl who lives her life in plastic. Ooh, these lyrics make you think, don't they?
So much glitter, but there's so much pain, or something like that, isn't there?
Between the smoke and mirrors, her teardrops will explode into the night that glitters. Yeah.
A look back behind the curtain with a lot of these songs into much more depth than you think is going on.
A lot of depth. Shall we talk about the chart position?
Let's talk about it. So the album was incredibly well received.
Critically.
Critically acclaimed.
Mm-hmm.
But it just goes to show even critical acclaim doesn't necessarily put through to chart success. So the leak would have damaged the sales of the album.
Yeah.
So it peaked at number 28 here in the UK.
It debuted and peaked at number 28, and it only spent 2 weeks on the charts, Joel.
That's criminal.
Absolutely criminal. I think if I was a more savvy homosexual in the know at the time, I would have imported this week of release from the UK.
I don't know what's wrong with everyone.
What the hell was going on in the country at the time?
In my opinion, there's three reasons why Brexit's happened. Have I already said this on the podcast? I'll start with this. They rank, okay. So I'll end with what I think is the definitive reason why Brexit's happened. But I'll start with my least of the three, but they're still prominent. Number three, we did an injustice to Hearsay when they had to break up due to abuse from the British public. Strike one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, it was our duty as... So, David, you're not getting the blame of any of this because you weren't here. But it was our duty from 96... to support any venture the Spice Girls wanted to give us collectively or separately. We should have wholeheartedly supported that, whether it was music, whether it was books, whether it was a range of tea towels, whatever it was. It was, and I didn't always do it either. I'm in the wrong here. It was our job to, no questions asked. Yep, we'll support that. Not one of those women should have ever flopped because we put them up there and then it was our duty to support them non-stop.
Definitely.
And last but not least, at number one, this is... Kids, if you're wondering what's happened, this is the reason why Brexit's happened. Because we didn't all go out and buy this fucking album. And now look what's happened. We're in tatters. The facts add up. So why are we going to trust a public to make a vote whether to leave the EU or not if they've just done those three things, David?
Mm.
I'm sorry, but everyone in Parliament should have sat around and thought, oh, God...
The signs were there.
They let Come and Get It peak at 28. We're not going to give them a public vote.
Yeah, the signs were all laid out.
What we'll do is we'll just put the vote out to only homosexuals in the know. And they can decide.
Is homosexuals in the know like
a another... Term.
Yeah, it's one of those things in the right back at your drinking game now, isn't it? So one of our lovely listeners and one of my favourite Twitter friends, Joe, said, you know, we should do a drinking game every time Joel does an accent or we say iconic.
Yeah, one of us says iconic. One of our other lovely listeners, your friend John, says whenever we say iconic, he stops and repeats it in my accent and in your accent, which is just genius.
I didn't think it was that different, but I might need to listen back at how it's we say iconic.
Part of the experience, I guess, yeah. You know. It's like how I used to just sit there and repeat the lines on Neighbours in the accent, you know. And also, the other thing in the drinking game is me scolding Australia for letting a song flop there. Which we don't have in this episode.
Australia's...
I'm just going to give one big general scold to Australia now for having none of it there.
We should have campaigned harder. All of us should have been importing the CD. That way, you know, we could have prevented this chart floppage.
This absolute disgrace. Devastation happened.
Real national disgrace.
So she did end that year with doing some gigs, which must have been booked in, but not a solo tour, more kind of like there were things like Christmas lights being switched on where she'd perform at, but no, I mean like big places, or she still did Smash Hits Pole Winners Party. There were sporadic appearances where she would sing, and in this, I remember people would film it, and I used to have a video of the set from a camcorder or something, so far from perfect, but in her set she would say... She would get to some girls and she'd be like, I want everyone to sing along with me now. And she would do the opening, she would do the chorus of Some Girls a cappella.
Oh.
Rachel into the mic.
Oh. And then with everyone singing along.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then she'd do the song. And for those kind of sets, it seemed like she was singing on top of the track. So the mic was on.
Yeah.
There was one random concert that was announced for Rachel at a club in Bristol. It was clearly a club night, but it was allowed to 14 plus for general public. I probably just would have had to have had a stamp. Girl from my year is from Swindon, which is kind of not that far. It's closer to Bristol than London. So she was up for going with me. I had tickets booked. Couldn't wait. It was going to be incredible. Gets cancelled.
Oh no.
I think if she had done a proper Come and Get It tour, which she had teased that she did want to do... It would have been the singles of the first album, maybe as well like Fools. She would have had to do a lot of Come and Get It.
Which we would be absolutely here for.
And then maybe an S Club medley or at least Natural.
Mm.
I think she's the kind of artist where there are still fans for her to do a club tour or a gay club tour. If she wants to just sort of do a greatest hit set or whatever she wants to do.
Or a small
tour or the Clapham Grand.
Yeah,
now they
like
do their
Nadine
big pop
just
nights.
Did, yeah.
Or, you know, Pride's, like,
yes, Pride.
There is still so much, like, people would lose their shit.
Yeah.
We'll do everything. Cat suits. Thank you so much for joining us this week for our journey with Rachel Stevens. It's filled my heart to just relive these moments. And I don't know about you, David, but it gets to a point where I just know that I love this person. And sometimes doing our podcast reminds me why.
Yeah. You know, you watch back interviews, you watch the music videos, you watch the live performances, and it just becomes so real. And that joy just comes back and you just, there's a brand new appreciation for it.
Who knows? If you like Rachel so much, there might be a little prequel episode coming up at some point, but...
That would be telling.
That would be telling too much. I've said too much already. We said never again, but here we are. This has been Right Back At Ya. You can follow us on all socials at Right Back Pod. You can email us at rightbackpod@gmail.com. We've had some really lovely emails, which has warmed our hearts so much.
Thank you so much, guys. It's just so nice to be sharing this with you.
And we've been getting some really lovely 5-star reviews on iTunes. If you've loved this episode in particular, why don't you put Still Waiting for Come and Get It Part 2? As we've said before, share and share and share if you can. You can follow me on all socials at Dr_JoelB. And where can they follow you, David?
On Twitter's @FeedLimmy, and I am on Instagram as LoveLimmy. I don't know why the distinction. I need to unify my brand at some point.
Look, I thought about this from day one.
I know, I'm too attached. I and also I can't be arsed, so.
Okay, well, I'm just going to say, for the next episode, I've got to take David on a real journey, which I can't wait, and we'll see how he feels
about
it.
It's going to be a ride, guys. It's going to be a ride.
All right, thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
Bye.